Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Beautiful day, in fact. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you for answering all our prayers throughout the week and throughout our lives. And thank you for answering no sometimes, because we do ask amiss. Thank you also for blessing everyone here that's in attendance, everyone on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that have been mentioned already in the children's hour as well as now. And thank you for blessing us with a changing of the showbread today on Sabbath so that we can have that much more truth in the soil of our hearts, so that when we go forth, we can not only have the ability to share this truth, Father, we can have the strength and the courage to stand firm against the attacks. And we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Oh, and I just want to make a little mention. Last night, there was a question in regards to, are we making another chat room? Yes and no. And what I mean is, we're still going to be using this chat room for as long as the Lord allows, you know, because it seems to work really well. I like the text chat, you know, portion of it. It's just got so many nice features and stuff. But no, what I was doing is I'm building another hybrid for, you know, like Sundays and Thursdays studies. You know, like when the people gather for, Sunday and Thursday. You got the men's study on Sunday, and you got the women's study on Thursdays. And then all throughout the week, you know, people can come in and whenever they want, but they got to let me know in advance so that I can set up the live feed, because unless you do that, you'll be hearing music, when you know, scripture music or SDR music. You know, I got scripture music in there from, I can't remember the name of the couple. I think it's John and Patty Valiant. They gave me permission in an email many years ago to post it online. And so it does play that 24, well, not just them, but, you know, Brother Alvin's in there, and there's my wife and I are in there, and there's just a bunch of people in there singing, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And so it's playing right now, as a matter of fact, while we're and so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to set up another room. Just, oh, somebody's in there now listening to the music. So I don't know, so it's just one person, but you can just make sure that he's not echoing in. And then we'll start here in a minute. I just want to make sure that it's not messing up here. Let me just show you really quick. Let me just go to Remnant of God. And then when you click down here, I'll fix this later into a better looking link. But you click that. Okay, yeah. And then you can also do the text chat and stuff. So it is playing music. And so they can't. Let me just make sure. I'll pause the music on the server. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to do that because it's a 20-second lag, so forget it. I'm not going to sit here and wait 20 seconds to see if you can hear my voice, but if you should have been able to hear it by now. So let me just knock that out of there and go back to the study. Okay, so and in the Q&A today, I do touch on the vaccines because someone sent me an email. So if you have anybody that's got questions in regards to what we should be doing with this vaccine that they plan to be, you know, putting out there, just, you know, stay tuned for the sermon, which is Q&A Sabbath. And so, again, we're not changing chat rooms. We're going to be continuing to use this one that we have now for as long as the Lord allows. But we'll get into all that later in regards to the vaccines and stuff. But this Sabbath, let's look a little more into the attributes and the characteristics of our God, but this time in how the Lord will bless some of us with these same attributes, you know, so as to be in that number, you know, the Gideon band. But I mean, what a loving God is this that we have grown to love as an obedient people. I mean, so much It's just a mad, you know, when we gather and worship on each Sabbath day, it's amazing how much His love is available to us and given freely unto us. I mean, we touched on a few of His loving ways last Sabbath and how they were revealed through His Son, our Lord, Savior, you know, Eternal King, Jesus Christ. And so let's keep going, as this is always a blessing, whether we be a babe in Christ or a well-seasoned student of the Bible. Because it doesn't matter how many years you have been studying the Word of God. I mean, each time you open up the Bible, it's like it's the first time in how He opens new truths to you as you dig deeply for that, you know, pearl of great price. Because as you read the Bible every day, it's like you're reading a brand new book, you know. So, but one of the most amazing events that I can recall in His Word way back in the First Testament has to be when the Lord allowed Moses to seek His back, you know, to look at His back parts on the mountain that day. I mean, just the thought of Moses having the faith and the courage to ask such a thing floors me, as I'm sure it does some of you, as many of us seek to be in that number that sees the Lord glorified before all very soon, you know, in the eastern sky splits at the ending of Plague 6 and the start of Plague 7. But notice the way this all happens. And keep in mind, what happens now is directly after the Lord told the people that they are stiff-necked and worthy to be destroyed. But again, Moses goes so far as to actually say such a thing after having a short conversation with the Lord regarding all this. It's in Exodus 33, verses 18 to 23. I'm going to read 18 to 23, so yeah. Okay, something's going on over here. Okay, there it goes. It's back. Okay, am I in the okay, did anybody put the verses in the room? Well, thanks, Natasha. She did it in the stream. So anyway, Exodus 33, verses 18 to 23, we read this. Wait, maybe they did. Okay, I am in the room. Thanks, Brother Sean. Okay, I didn't even notice that. Okay. It says this. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, let's stop here for a minute. Do you recall what Jesus said to His Father directly before the... let's see. You know, right before, you know, when He was standing before His throne, where half of the people heard, you know, I think it was when He was baptized, right? Or was it the Mount? Oh, no, I think it was when He was baptized. When the Father said, John 12:28, Father, glorify Thy name. Remember that? You know, half the people heard thunder because they didn't believe. The other half actually heard the voice because they did believe. Say, study your Bibles. He can't talk to you if you don't study your Bibles, you know. And so we see here that Moses, who was a Messiah type, had this, you know, because Jesus Christ is the anti-type, which means He's not a type. He's the actual Messiah. So Moses was a Messiah type. He had the same love of the Father, wherein His glory is what mattered more than anything else to Him. That's what He was concerned, like us, you know, we want to make our Father smile, right? And so, just as the Father allowed Himself to be glorified before all when His thunderous voice was heard, the Lord allowed Himself to be seen of Moses so that He could see His glory as well. But moving on, verse 19. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the clift. Or that song, everybody know that hymn, the cleft of the rock, or the clift of the rock. Well, the Bible says clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You know, it's amazing enough that the Lord showed his hand in all those plagues, as well as splitting the Red Sea and all, but to allow Moses to actually look upon him directly after he broke the original tablets at the base of that golden calf, I mean, all I can say is praise the Lord for his mercy and compassion. And by the way, why this event was split into two chapters in the Bible is beyond me, for as you will see, it continues on in the same exact narrative without missing a step in the next chapter. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 6 in Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verses 1 to 6, because it's just, I don't know why they split it in two chapters, but, you know. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come upon or shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before them that mount." You know, this reminds me of Matthew 6:6, when in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." You know, the only reason this reminds me of this teaching of our Lord at this time in my walk is because for us to go into the inner rooms, or in the hills, or even in the forest to be alone with the Lord to pray, we have to realize that prevents us from seeking self-glory, as those that Jesus outed in Matthew 6:5, when he said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And what's their reward? Well, they were seen of men. That's what they wanted. Hey, look at me, I'm a holy roller. And so everybody looks at them and they think of them as a holy roller, and that's the reward they wanted. That's what they got, and that's it. But I can recall many times in my past wherein people desired, you know, to pray long prayers openly before the people in churches or in parking lots or on the phone seeking the praise of men. I mean, you could do long prayers. It's best to do that kind of stuff in private. But doing it, you know, with a church family, unless you have an actual prayer meeting where you got a bunch of prayer warriors that are going to go there and gather in prayer for whatever reason, like if someone's sick or dying or something, or fasting and praying and stuff like that. But doing it on a regular basis, like having, like we used to do the years ago when we first started the church service online, we did the, you know, we would start with prayer, and then the unspoken requests or the prayer requests that were being put in the room, I would read those as I'm praying, and the prayer would go on to like 3 or 4 minutes, and it got to like, yeah, that's just too long, because some of the people are up in their years, they can't kneel for any length of time and stuff like that. And so, you know, they're just there because the Lord knows they're there. He already knows what you're going to pray in advance anyway, right? And so, sadly, this is what, you know, like the people that prayed long in the parking lots around the phones and stuff, that is what they received, you know, because they wanted the praise of men, because they allowed themselves to be manipulated in such a way by the enemy of souls. I mean, the one praying seeks to be seen as holy, and so they have their reward. They will not be in heaven unless they repent, because the reward they sought was to have men to glorify them instead of Christ to be glorified. This is why many men declare themselves ordained as pastor who were never truly ordained of God to stand as pastor. And this is sometimes, it's not just men. Women are actually claiming to be pastors in these last days. And they do this to uplift themselves or usurp the authority over men. That's, you know, because the Bible says that, you know, you should not. I mean, seriously, look in the scriptures. The Lord made it very plain as to what went down in the Garden of Eden in regards to the head of the house. And it's not like we hoard over our women and put them under our feet. No, the Lord took the rib out of Adam's side. He didn't take it out of his foot. And so we work hand in hand. It's just certain things we do that the women can't, and there's certain things the women do that the men can't. It's just, there's no issue. It's just like putting the crowns down at the end of it all. You know, when the 1,000 years begins and we start our first day in heaven, we all put our crowns at the feet of Christ. You could have one star on there, or you could have 100 stars on there. No one's going to care. No one's going to. Because it's all about Christ. It's not about us. We're not going to be sitting there go, oh, look at what I've done. No. Look what the Lord asked me to do, and I did it. To glorify Him. Period. That's why there's only one star on my crown, or maybe 100 stars on my crown. I don't know. I'll find that out when I get home. And so, getting back to Moses and why the Lord told him to assure no one was anywhere near the mountain when he came up there, I believe this was to prevent even the slightest suggestion of Satan to reach its mark in the heart of Moses, tempting him to seek self-glory. Because when the Lord was to carve the law into the tablets that Moses made for him, seeking how he broke the originals, you know, because of the covenant being broken by all the people at the, you know, with the golden calf. You know, I'm sure it had to be an amazing thing to see, just as the burning bush must have been an amazing thing to look at. I mean, the bush is on fire and it ain't burning. But it's just like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace of fire. Nebuchadnezzar had to be awestruck. I mean, they're not burning. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up right there in the midst of them. And so Satan could have used this. This is why the Lord says anybody that touches the mouth or even livestock, boom, they're dead. They're going to drop dead. And so that way, you know, Satan, you know, couldn't tempt Moses to seek self-glory, knowing in the back of his mind that, hey, someone checking this out. You know, it's kind of like Peter when he looked around and looked at the apostles. Hey, look, I'm walking on water. No. I mean, plus he looked around and got scared because, well, that's the end result of putting pride up, you know. And so I come to this conclusion because of how the Lord went back, to New Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, you know, when He ascended, Jesus, you know, as He was ascending back to heaven, right in front of the apostles, what happened? A cloud came and covered it all up to prevent the glory of the heavenly reception being seen by the apostles. I mean, had they seen all that, they would have been easy prey of Satan to preach about heaven, the mansions, the golden street, the walls of the city, the gates, the tree of life, the many angels, instead of the gospel message that saves the lost. Case in point, look at the Vatican. It's dripping with gold. There's no gospel message there at all. It's all about, look at us, the pomp and circumstance. That's why people clamor after that. It's just like what these preachers on YouTube, SDA and all of them, it doesn't matter what their denomination is. If they got a lot of money in their pockets, they got these big, fancy studios and all this graphics and a lot of money, and people go and watch that because they figure, well, if they got all the money, they must know what they're doing, right? Hey, they're following the God of this world. That's why they got all that money. Okay, that's just the brass tacks of it all. And so, all we got is the truth, and that's all we need. That's all we need. And so, for whatever reason, it is clear to me that unless we are ready to see or hear anything that will glorify the Lord, we have to have the faith that is capable to receive it. And yes, some of us will grow to that strength of faith because the promise of our God cannot be denied. When it comes to the Gideon band, there will be a people of 144,000 in number that will not only walk a walk like no other human, who like Moses, whose face glowed, the Gideon band, they're going to glow entirely, not just their face, obviously, especially at the end when the SDAs actually, you know, the ones that refuse to leave the SDA church, right there in Spirit of Prophecy, they're the ones that are going to bow down and worship us if we're part of the Gideon band. You can't get around it. That's because they put their faith in man, and that's why they worship the creature more than the creator. Proven? Easy. They stay in the church because their pastor told them to. That's the creature. The creator said in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 4, get out of there. As well as a lot of other places in the scriptures. And so, but again, we are not seeking the glowing robes because that robe of life or light is of God, and it can never be found upon those that revel in darkness. We're not about self. We're not in it for the robe. We're in it to glorify the Father. I mean, Adam and Eve proved that hands down. The split second they chose darkness over the light, that robe was gone. That's why all of a sudden they realized they were naked. But try to tell that to those Baptist nudists that say you can read the Bibles in the buff. There, in my book, People Get Ready, I actually put the article where that's the headline, Reading Bibles in the Buff. And they say it's because they're going back to the Edenic situation. Well, really? Adam and Eve weren't stark naked up until they started sinning. So in essence, they're actually doing exactly what prophecy said they would do. They're in sin, and they're doing it naked and reading Bibles. I mean, come on. But anyway, continuing on to verse 4 in Exodus 34, we read, "And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tables of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." I mean, can't you imagine? Yeah, neither can I, but... And yes, it is true the Gideon band will be even more blessed than any man in history, but I still have to wonder, will we be allowed to see the Lord in His glory? The answer is a resounding yes. You can count on it. I mean, just as every obedient soul that rises from their graves, the word of our loving God says in Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold," Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him." You know, those are the guys that, you know, die three times. Those that pierced Him. And that's not just piercing them on the cross. It's piercing Him through killing His people. The Vatican killed 500 million Christians, and the Muslims, they're on the same track because they're killing 200,000 a year, just like the Vatican did. And so... I think the Vatican did like 400,000, but that doesn't matter. They killed 500 million, and the Muslims want to do the same. So, but Revelation 1, verse 7 again says, "Behold, if He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds, or all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." I mean, we, the obedient people of God, that either arise from the tomb or stand in that number to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, you know, the Gideon band, we will see Him and declare Him to be our God to every dying soul around us. As is prophesied, the wicked with all will all wail because of it, you know, because of what, you know, Revelation 1 verse 7 said. You know, they're going to wail because of Him. But we, the bride of Christ, that is soon to be with Him in New Jerusalem. Think about that. If the Pope gets his wish, we're out of here in about 9 years, 8 years now, because 21's coming up. If he gets his wish, I'm not putting any dates out, okay? The Pope wants to enforce the mark in 2027 with the buy and sell, and then he wants to enforce it with the death sentence. So he sets up the death decree. The plagues begin, and then plague six is when the decree is actually enforced, exactly as it was in Esther's day, okay? And you got that in Scripture. You got that in Spirit of Prophecy, too. And so, but we, the bride of Christ, we're going to be with Him in New Jerusalem. And no, we were not going to be wailing in abject horror. We will declare for all to hear what Isaiah said we're going to say in Isaiah 25, verse 9. Oh, man, I can't wait for that day. It says, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." And so, is this not a good and compassionate God we worship? Amen. I mean, He is more so than any man could be to his own child, for that matter. The most loving Father on earth can't match the love of our Father in heaven. And to show His love for us, we, the obedient remnant people, will discover that if we stand obedient, we too can do as Christ did when He walked among us so long ago. That's why He didn't descend as an adult to start preaching for 3.5 years. No, He was born of a virgin to show that even as a child we could do this. He didn't cheat ever. And so, for he not only came to fulfill the ceremonial law or grant salvation to all or even defeat death and teach the gospel truth, He also came to teach at least 144,000 people how they can partake of the divine nature, which you can actually see happening with Moses, as well as the way the Ten Commandments were actually penned that are inside the Ark of the Covenant right now. And what do I mean? Moses carved the tablets. A man carved the tablets, and then the creator of that man carved the words onto it. So man and Christ were working together right there. That's why Christ was the original, well, not fully, because Moses wasn't fully divine, obviously, like Christ was. But still, that's where we can come to. We can be. It's called the divine nature, where we walk that closely with Christ. And so if we grow in faith in this short period of time that we have left to do so, we will clearly understand just how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, this is Acts 10:38 I'm reading. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He hasn't left us alone to deal with the devil on our own. He loves us far too much to do that. Even now, when it becomes apparent before all that eyes see, even if they can't see the gospel message, they can see Satan is doing all he can to oppress and even possess as many poor souls as he can the world over. Billionaires, check this out, billionaires are even using their money today to supply the poor with thousands of dollars on a weekly basis. They're doing this right now in the USA, just so they can do their bidding and generating hate and violence in the cities with all those riots all over the nation and all over the world. Billionaires are doing that, using their money to make sure that these poor, they're taking advantage of the poor. It'll guarantee their vote, too. That's what public aid was designed to do. Well, the original public aid is obviously in Genesis, when you read about Joseph and Pharaoh. You know, when the 7 years of famine were coming, well, the plenty was going to be there, so they set it up to where they can actually take care of the people with public aid, or, you know, government subsidies or whatever. But, you know, the government took advantage of it to get people to a point where, I mean, look what's going on right now. They extended, like never before in the history of mankind, as far as I know, those of you that were on unemployment insurance, are you still getting it? Because it's longer than 13 weeks. It's been months. Yeah, welfare. Thanks, Dwayne. That's the other word I was looking for. But, yeah, like some of you that you can't go back to your work or whatever, let's say, is the unemployment insurance still active? I don't know. I don't know. I was only on it once when I was a teenager, so I know it was 13 months or 13 weeks back then. I don't know what it is now. And so this violence and that you see all over the nation and all over the world, it's just setting the stage for the demand for religious laws to bring the long-lost morality of the nation back into society. You know, they're going to say, oh, it's just getting so crazy. You know, it's just like what happened when they killed the two witnesses. Yeah, I know some of you that are new may have gone, whoa, they already did that? Yes, it's in the 1700s. And there's evidence of that, but a lot of people don't realize who the two witnesses are. That's why they got these, you know, Left Behind movies and stuff, where they got Moses and Elijah acting like they're the two witnesses. No, that's not what the Bible says. Those aren't the two witnesses. Just to quickly verify to you in your heart what they are, witness number one is the Old Testament, or First Testament, as I like to call it, and witness number two is the New Testament. And I've got a ton of Bible verses to back that up. But it's a meaty study. You can't just give one or two Bible verses. It's like Michael the Archangel. You can't just give one or two Bible verses to prove that one either. And so I guess no one's on unemployment insurance. I never got an answer back. I think I'm in the main room, ain't I? I didn't notice anybody. Yeah, George Soros. Yeah, amen, Brother Bill. George Soros is the one that's putting the money out there. Yeah. And that guy looks like he's on death's door. I mean, he's pray for that man's soul, but he might already be reprobate. We don't know, so just keep praying for him, like you pray for anybody. Obama still comes up in my prayers every now and then, you know, rarely, because Trump is now president, I never voted for Trump, and I didn't vote for Hillary. I don't vote for anybody. People say, why? Well, vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, it's still a vote for evil. I don't want to be held. It's right there in the spirit of prophecy. You want to be held accountable for what these men do? Because you will be. You vote for them. So even now, we have that promised hedge of protection around us, and even more so when the latter rain starts to fall, for we have We do have a work to do, and since prophecy is a sure thing, we will be successful in glorifying our God as we go forth in the courage and the faith we already grew into so as to overcome the flesh, because you have to know, if you don't have the means by which to do what must be done before the promised refreshing comes, you know, the letter A, do not think for a minute that you're going to be magically freed from cigarettes or porn or alcohol or even hatred in your heart on that day. It's not going to happen. You've got to be set up ready to go before that day comes. He's watching you now. All those sinful attributes must be put down before that day comes. And we can do it, brothers and sisters, if we just trust the Lord who said in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.